Welcome to Everyday Relationships from Focus on the Family with Dr. Greg Smalley and Susie Larson.
Welcome to today's show. We are thrilled that you have joined us. We are here every day to help you live out God's greatest commandment, to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as you love yourself. I am Dr. Greg Smalley, joined by author and speaker Susie Larson. Hey, we want to hear from you today. Susie, we had such a great show yesterday.
We couldn't even get on all the calls.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, just in the variety. And that's literally what we love to do. So whatever question you have, whatever relationship issue that we could have the privilege of really weighing in on, we'd love to do that. So the phone lines are open. So we're taking your call. Give us a call.
We want to hear from you. Here's the number, 855-273-5283. 855-273-5283. Call in. Dr. Greg is always a great big pile of good mood. So that's how I'm going to start describing you now, Greg.
Let's unpack that.
A great big pile of good mood.
Piece by piece.
We're going to be talking about weight gain a little bit later. So this has nothing to do with that. But I'm sorry. I'm going to dig myself out of this hole now.
Yeah,
but
I'm
call
listening.
That number, and you can call during non-broadcast hours and leave us a voicemail, and we'll address your question on a future show. Don't worry, we won't identify you. We'll just tackle the question. You can also email us during the show. If you email quickly, we'll get that question on today's show. Here's the address, everydayrelationships@focusonthefamily.com. So the phone lines are open. We want to hear from you again. As Greg said, we couldn't even get to all the calls yesterday. 855-273-5283. Now, first, Greg, this really is a touchy subject and one we've received a number of questions about since we've been doing the show, and it's the issue of how to handle when your spouse puts on a few pounds or maybe even more than a few pounds. And it's a touchy subject. And
yeah.
So I really appreciate that you have the courage to tackle it, really.
Well, you're right. It is. I mean, I guess on one hand it may seem trivial, but I tell you what, a lot of long-term marriages deal kind of with this whole issue of weight gain, mm-hmm. and just being healthy, you know, somewhere along the line, you know, whether it's related to, you know, giving birth to a child or, you know, a particularly stressful period, you know, where both spouses are not taking good care of themselves, or maybe, you know, just the natural process of aging, you know, this is inevitably going to come up. And it's such a sensitive issue, I can't even barely talk today. So I'm stumbling all over my words, because this is an issue that my wife and I have had to deal with now. Not me having the issue with her, because she is gorgeous and skinny, and I'm not happy about that. Well, I guess I am. But no, really, this has been an issue that I've really struggled with. Mm. And I know that this is something that Erin is constantly trying to walk this tightrope of, what does she say? What does she not say?
How does she? I got to know. What does she do? She seems so gracious. Trying to help you eat healthy, I suppose, huh?
You know, I asked her about this, actually, and just said, all right, what do you tell me? What should I say? You know, part of what she was talking about is that, you know, there's it's not like I'm oblivious. It's not like I look in the mirror and go, I am skinny and gorgeous, you know, and she's
Ten.
Like, ah, wait a minute here. What are you talking about? So it's not that I'm not aware of this issue. There are times that I go through seasons to where it's not that I'm oblivious, but I'm ignoring the issue. I've got my head stuck in the sand. I'm going through something. And again, this is where I battle. I mean, some, you know, we all have our own stuff, mm-hmm. that we deal with. This is mine. Weight, eating healthy. You know, I love to exercise. I get up in the morning and do that. I just have some bad habits that have been very hard. When I get stressed out, that's really when I start to eat. And, you know, there's been different times that Erin has tried to handle it differently, like hiding food. I always love to find stashes and then go, why is this hidden? Hey, wait a minute. I know what's going on. You know, there's been times that she might have said, you know, now you're not going to eat that, are you? And that doesn't work.
Right.
But, you know, what I really have tried to cultivate within our marriage, and I think we can do this, is that there shouldn't be anything off limits. There can't be anything
off limits. As far as what we can talk about.
Right. Mm-hmm. We've got to be able to talk about these things. And, you know, there are ways to bring this up, and then there are ways that probably aren't going to work. There are ways that she does it perfectly, and I respond horribly. That's my issue.
Hmm.
And but a lot of times what she'll do is, what I appreciate is that she doesn't draft me into a conversation, like jump me, you know, we've got to talk about this, or do this more in a reaction way to where if she's really frustrated with me. But she'll say, hey, can we talk about something tonight? What do you want to talk about?
Hmm.
Well, you know, let's talk about this tonight. And over the years, you know, I've gotten better to where in the beginning of our marriage, I would literally, if I smelled any sort of disappointment in her or frustration, I would say, no, tell me right now. In versus, I know now that no, if she's trying to do this in the right way and is making an appointment, I'm going to honor that, and I'm going to show up ready to listen.
Which shows the security on your part, too, in a healing, an inner healing. You know what I mean? A soul healing, where you're really more and more knowing who you are,
yeah,
and you're trusting in her love that she's a safe place. So you can,
yeah,
you can do this on those terms.
Yeah.
That's great.
Still hard. I mean,
yeah,
this is a minefield. I mean, let's just be mm-hmm. honest. Because so much of it is tied to my self-esteem and my, you know, just sense of self, and therefore to think that, oh, what does that mean? Is she not attracted to me anymore? If, you know, is she disappointed in me? You know, and so a lot of times what she'll do is that she doesn't make it about my weight per se. She makes it, I think, in a healthy way about her. And I'm scared. You know, I love you. You're my best friend. I want to spend, you know, as much time on this earth as we can together. And she goes, I don't want you to die first. And I get that. I know that. It's not that, oh, I've never thought about that before.
And that's a true thing for us as wives. I mean, because security is such a big thing for us,
yeah,
that does trigger something in us, you know?
Yeah. And that's exactly mm-hmm. right. And so I like it when she first comes at it from, you know what, she makes this about her. She's not trying to manipulate me to control me. She knows she can't. Mm-hmm. obviously we know we can't do that, but we need to be able to talk about this. You know, I think, some of the things too that she's done, is, you know, in addition to kind of clarifying what the issue is for her, you know, rather it's, hey, I want to do things outside and your energy level's low, or, you know, whatever it is, she kind of clarifies that. And then she shifts it from weight to about what she wants for us as a couple, and paints that dream and that vision
that's excellent.
Know, here are all the things that I want us to be able to do, from spending time together to having a full, you know, physical intimacy. I mean, just everything. I mean, because obviously weight affects so much. And I've been teasing her lately. You know, I said, you know, of all these years of dieting and winning and losing that battle, it's like, as of lately, with my 13-year-old son, it's like, you know what? Why didn't anybody recommend to go out and rent, like, a teenage, you know, boy to put at the home to eat all the food?
That's,
I mean,
it.
You have three boys. I mean, I'm getting to the point where I'm like, why isn't there anything to eat? Now, my son's like emptying wrappers into the trash can.
Yeah.
So, you know, that uh-huh. that's a good thing, to have a son that eats everything. But, you know, she, let's see, you know, I like it too when she approaches and she'll say, how can I help? How can I'm your assistant. I'm your helpmate. How can I do this? And, you know, Erin has this amazing metabolism. You know, she works out, she takes great care of herself. And so there's times that, you know, she can eat, however, you know, it's harder as we get a little bit older. But I think that just being aware that, you know, I can't have that stuff in the home. I can't. You know, she'll grocery shop and she'll do some of those things. She's preparing the food in a healthy way. So I think a lot of that. But I think knowing that we're in this together, that she's not criticizing me,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think that's really what's been most helpful, to know that she's never made it an attraction issue. Because what I've appreciated about my wife is that she'll say, you know, there's so many things. There's 80 things I love about you. And this is an area, though, that I struggle with. And so she's never tied those two together.
Yeah,
really,
and she's crazy about you. I mean, the way she talks about you, she honors you and respects you so well.
She really does.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful thing. I know in my late teens, early 20s, I struggled with my weight for a handful of years. And when I, you know, with Kev, he's such a big guy, and that he does default to eating too much at times. But because my weight was not an issue for him, because it's just something that he deals with.
Yeah.
So I would lose weight and I'd feel excited. He wouldn't notice. I would gain weight and feel ashamed, he wouldn't notice. And by him, it being kind of a non-issue as far as how he loved me, it set up a scenario where it could be my journey. And I lost weight very fast after that and haven't turned back from that.
Yeah.
You know, and but I will say for Kev, I cannot make him tater tot hot dish. I refuse. I just said, I love you. This is going to be your
I'm
journey.
I'm hungry.
But I ain't doing it. It defies who I am. But I know we've got a gift for those who call in today, right, Greg?
Yeah, seriously, if this is an issue you really want to dig into, we've got a great book, Jim Daly, our Focus on the Family president, called The Best Advice I Ever Got on My Marriage. They deal with this issue in there. So a generous gift of any amount you call today at 800-8-FAMILY, we would love to send you Jim Daly's The Best Advice I Ever Got on Marriage.
Yeah, so as we're talking about, there's a way to go about this, but to make sure that we express love and encouragement and support. Maybe you've got a relationship question. Well, now is the time to call 855-273-5283, 855-273-5283. We've got some emails to go through. Maybe email's easier for you. Here's the address, everydayrelationships@focusonthefamily.com. Noticed a couple comments on Facebook. We'll tackle those in a moment.
From Game Show Network.
This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. We're taking your calls, going through your emails today. We're going to revisit the how to talk to your spouse about weight gain in just a moment, but we're going to take in your calls. And so if you've got a relationship question, now is the time, 855-273-5283, 855-273-5283, or you can email us, everydayrelationships@focusonthefamily.com. Dee Dee's calling in from Blue Earth, Minnesota with a question today. Dee Dee, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Greg and Susie. Thanks for taking my call. Something you said yesterday, I'm so glad I was able to get in. You were talking yesterday about quitting your job, and that reminded me of a problem that I have with my husband. When we go through stressful situations, you know, like quitting a job or transition, my husband gets really stressed out. And I'm just wondering if you have any advice for me on how I, as his wife, can help him, because normally in these situations, our marriage is just a little bit worse off than it was before that big stressful event. Mm-hmm. So how can we be better and pull together instead of, being worse after it?
Good question.
That's a great question. Because, Dee Dee, what I like is that you're trying to be proactive, thinking, knowing that, you know, we're going to face other stressful times, other moments. How do I do this in a way that actually takes our marriage forward? And so, you know, for me, I think it's so important for us to really understand how our spouse really handles stress. So Dee Dee, for you in this case, you know, thinking about how does when my husband gets stressed out, what will he typically do? Because I guarantee you it's probably going to be very different than how you handle stress, which can add to the confusion, and it's easy then to take things personal. For example, you know, when I get stressed, so for a lot of times when a man gets stressed out, our body's going to release oxytocin. And when that mixes with testosterone, what it does is it causes us to shut down, to go and isolate. Aaron calls it going into the cave. So when I get stressed out, I don't want to connect with anybody. I don't want to talk about anything. I want to be alone. And I'm not saying that's good. Okay, I'm just saying that that's a lot of times what will happen to me. So, Dee Dee, for you just to understand that that's kind of what might be going on with your husband can just keep you then from taking things personally. Because I know early on for Aaron and I, you know, when I would get stressed out and I would shut down, she would see that as I'm not interested in her. It was never about her. It was that had this sort of this draw. Because when a lot of women get stressed out, when oxytocin hits that estrogen, what it creates is what they call the tend and befriend phenomenon. In other words, they want to befriend, they want to be around other women, they want to connect, they want to be in a relationship or tend to their children if they have children. And I mean, that literally, like, that would be the last thing that I would think about when I'm stressed out. I want to be alone. But do you see, though, how that can be confusing? So I think, Dee Dee, for you, just knowing that might lead you with different eyes, different ears, as you really talk to him. I think it's a great thing for a wife to sit down with her husband and just say, you know what, I know that I noticed that you've been really isolating, and I know that you're going through a really stressful time. I get that you're probably going to want to be alone. But, you know, as your wife, as your helpmate, what is some of the best ways that I can help meet your needs, or what do you need from me during this time? And, you know, for me, I like it when Aaron just acknowledges, you know, hey, I've just noticed there's been a couple evenings that you've come straight in and you've gone right for the sofa just to turn the TV on to veg out. And are there some things going on at work? I think to be able to encourage us as men to really talk and to get these things out, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And I'm probably not going to seek that out, unfortunately, off the bat. But yet when Aaron approaches me, not in a critical, what is your deal? You know, hello, I'm your wife. You got kids. You know, we need you. Where are you? You're disappearing. I mean, that's not the way to do this.
We'll just drive you farther into the cave, right?
Yeah. And again, I mean, Aaron has every right to be frustrated. I mean, mm-hmm. This is a marriage. I am a dad and a husband. I mean, but yet just saying, I see what's going on, and then I'll kind of go, oh, yeah. You know, honey, what's going on at work?
I love that.
You know, and then we start to talk about it. And then the more we do that, I think that really helps me. And then she might say, hey, let's, you know, how about you and I go for a walk, or, you know, hey, let's go bowling as a family tonight. I think when she pursues me, when she initiates getting me sort of out of that isolation, that can be a really helpful way to handle the situation.
Well, Dee Dee, thank you for that call. What I like about Dee Dee's call is she's saying, I want to anticipate, because I already know transition brings stress on the relationship. How can I minimize that stress? And see, that to me is a proactive approach to a relationship. So hats off to you, Dee Dee. Well, so at the beginning, you opened the show with the whole idea of when one spouse deals with their weight, can the other spouse address it? And you're saying there should be no talk rules in a marriage relationship. Every area. We should be able to touch on and talk about, but there's a way to do it. And so we asked on Facebook, is it ever okay for you to tell a spouse they're gaining too much weight? Lisa says, no, not ever. But as the main cook, I can make healthier meals and keep the food off the table at dinner, so we actually have to get up for it. Also, my husband encourages me by asking to take walks. Well, during the 2 months, it's warm enough in Minnesota, she says. And then Debbie says, I got to hear this one because I'm the overweight one and have a husband who never mentions it. So grateful, because this is a source of great distress to me. And Debbie brings up such a good point. When you're the one who's struggling with the weight, you already know about it.
Yes. Yeah. It's not that I'm unaware. Now, if someone's gaining a little bit of weight and maybe there's been a 5-pound swing, you know, the way they, I think, make our mirrors in our home, I always look beautiful and skinny. I don't know what the deal is. I go out and I'm like, I catch another look in a mirror. I'm like, what? Who's that? Oh, my goodness. I'm going to go home and tell my wife I love her if that's what I'm looking like. But, you know, Lisa was the first comment, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, what I like about what she's saying is that, again, the reality relationship, we can't control the other. And so I like how she's saying, but yet we can't influence, we can't have impact. And so she's looking for some ways, you know, cooking healthy, initiating, going out on walks. You know, I mean, there's things like that I think that we can do. We can model that. But you know, with Debbie, I like that too. She said, you know, this is the reality. But I'm telling you, Susie, we have to, as couples, we've said this before, we have to be able to have these conversations. And even there's a phrase called meta communication. That's when we talk about how we talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great thing in a marriage. Just to every once in a while say, you know what, hey, an issue like weight, you know, what's the best way that we can have a good, healthy conversation without it turning into a power struggle or everybody's hurt and now we're disconnected? So I even think talking about that proactively on some of these harder issues, how do we do that in a way that brings us closer together and you feel good and I feel good? See, even that can be helpful.
And this is so important, because this is one issue that can create dysfunction on such
totally.
A degree. I mean, you think of even a young girl and her mom says, you know, you lose a few pounds, you'll fit in those cute jeans, and suddenly you've got an eating disorder on your hands, you know?
That's what my wife says to me. She wants me in them
pounds.
Cute jeans.
But there is a way to do that in a way that encourages. I mean, even think of a personal trainer. They're coming at from encouragement and challenge. And so I think to walk it out carefully. Maybe you've had experience in that. We'd sure love to know. How have you navigated those waters? Is the spouse who's worried about a spouse or the one who's dealt with a weight? Chime into the conversation or call in with any relationship question. We want to hear from you. 855-273-5283. 855-273-5283. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships, and we will be right back. For tuning in today. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. Glad to have you along today. We're taking your calls and your emails. Maybe you've got a relationship question. Now is the time. The phone lines are open. Here's the number, 855-273-5283. 855-273-5283. It'd be really easy if you put it in your phone, put that number in your phone, and you can call during non-broadcast hours, leave us a voicemail, and we will tackle that question on a future show. We won't identify you, but you can call now as well. 855-273-5283. Greg, we get lots of emails. We so appreciate that. And sometimes emailing is just easier, and so I'm going to throw out that address one more time. everydayrelationships@focusonthefamily.com. So here is an email for you, Greg, and it says, I met my husband when I was 19. We ended up having premarital sex, which we had previously with several other women, which he had previously with several other women, despite saying he was a Christian. Through the years, we have had five wonderful children amidst a backdrop of emotional and physical infidelity and porn issues. My heart is now so seared that I feel done. My grace, tolerance, and mercy are worn out. Many of my Christian friends are praying for me and us, and they wonder why I'm still subjecting myself to him. The problem is, I believe in marriage, yet I feel so disappointed because I did not think my marriage would be like this. What can I do? Oh, my goodness, Greg, I just feel for her. Oh, my goodness, what do you say?
Well, you know, it even as you were reading that, I was thinking about my own kids. And so I have four, you know, 2016, 13, and six. And, you know, I mean, this is the reality for so many couples, especially Christian couples. And it just this is the consequence of when we live outside of God's design for, in this case, purity. You know, this is why we're not supposed to have premarital sex. But I know that so many struggle with this. And yet this is why we need to keep teaching our kids. This is why in the midst of a hookup culture and free love and all that, you know, there are consequences. And, you know, I'm so sorry for her. You know, you just hear the pain and, you know, the betrayal and just and yet I love the way that she's really willing to fight for her marriage. And a couple things. I think one, you know, as I think about being a marriage therapist, you know, this is why doing marital, you know, work is so difficult, because you've got three separate things going on. You've got her issues, his issues, and then their issues. And you've got to attend to all three. And so for her, I would say keep that in mind, because obviously you can't control him, and it takes two people to have a great marriage. So make sure you're putting your efforts and your energies clearly into what you can do. And that's to really to make sure that she's being well taken care of. You know, she can, she needs that great support system. Just, you know, making sure she's, you know, having a way to emotionally vent and get those emotions out as she's really hurting and struggling through this. Just to make sure she's eating right and taking good care of herself. I mean, she needs all that energy to be able to deal with him and their marriage. And so the reality, though, again, for her, the biggest battle, though, is for her heart. And so in addition to taking good care of herself, what she's trying to do is, God, what do I need to keep my heart open to him? Because, boy, when you're hit with infidelity and porn and just all of what that does to you as a person, you know, it's easy to understand why someone would totally shut their heart down. And so I would encourage her, really clearly make that your goal. What do I need to do to get my heart open? What do I need to do so that I don't harden my heart towards him? Because that's not what God wants.
And yet, Greg, you've also said before that when you have a situation where there's multiple affairs, there is a point and a time to draw a line in the sand and create a different response.
Absolutely. So that's why, I mean, if she's got to separate this into three different columns. So how do I take care of me? List that out.
Got it.
How can I serve him because and come alongside of him in a healthy and appropriate way and keep loving him and working through God to be able to forgive him? I mean, just so what can he do for her? But then when it comes time to their marriage, you know, she's got to then decide what does she need in order to feel safe? You know, because he's very unsafe. I mean, just all of what he's struggling with. And so she has every right to say, listen, okay, you know, remember, we teach people, you know, how to treat us based on what we tolerate. And so for her, there's going to come a point in time to where she's saying, hey, I can't keep my heart open when you're out doing all this stuff. So we need to separate. You need help. I'm going to keep getting help. And when you deal with these things, when you're in counseling, when you've got that good accountability, you know, then I'm willing to begin to work on our marriage. But I think in her mind, she's got to understand that right now, working on her marriage is the last thing she needs to be thinking about. She's got to be well cared for. He needs to go get help. And then as they're being taken care of and getting the help they need, then they can work on their marriage in the end.
Boy, that's so good. Because when she starts to take care of herself, she's going to start to feel life come back into her soul even before the marriage stuff is healed and settled. So it's something she has to tend to. Great advice. Maybe you've got a question today. We'd love to help you walk through it. 855-273-5283. 855-273-5283. I'll be checking Facebook during the show, too. So if you're on Facebook now and want to post a question, the page is Everyday Relationships Radio. You can hit the like button while you're there, and we will be right back. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships.
Let's face it, life's messy.
This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. We so appreciate doing this journey with you. We're taking your calls and your emails today. You got a question? We'd love to hear it. Sort it through. If you got a relationship question, here's the number, 855-273-5283. 855-273-5283. And the email is everydayrelationships@focusonthefamily.com. We got Carrie calling in from Albuquerque with a question for us today. Carrie, welcome. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call, Susie and Greg.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. I have a boyfriend that I've been seeing for about a year, and we have opposite schedules that don't really allow us a whole lot of time together. And because of that, you know, I've tried to emphasize to him how important it is that we make that time for each other, you know, outside of our busy lives. He gets it, but there's not a lot of action behind it. And so I just was wondering how I can communicate that to him in a better way, maybe, or how I can look at it differently to appreciate, you know, where he might be coming from.
Yeah, Carrie, great question. You know, I mean, obviously the reality of being in a relationship is that we have to continue to grow, to nurture, to cultivate, you know, a relationship. We can't ever hit a cruise control inside of a relationship and just send that relationship down the road hoping that it's going to be okay and then get involved in all these other things. And so I think you're right on that you guys have to figure out ways to nurture one another, and that takes time together. One thing I would encourage you to, this is your boyfriend. And so, you know, part of being in a dating relationship is, you know, the more that you can deal with real situations you're going to encounter someday as a married couple, now you have a training ground. Now you're preparing. Now you're learning. And the reality is you're always going to face busyness, you know. When you have kids and you have both, you know, when you have all this other stuff going on, it's always going to be busy. And so, you know, for you, a part of what you're doing is you guys get to learn now how do we learn how to nourish our marriage, our relationship in a busy world. Now, part of the other opportunity that you have is you're also learning about each other and about your relationship, and you're looking for red flags. And quite honestly, if as you guys are dating, if you're not able to figure out how do we really cultivate and build in and strengthen our relationship along the way, to me, that's a red flag. That would be one of those I'd say, you guys need to take that into a counselor and really figure this out, because that's not going to go away. That'll only amplify majorly when you guys are married. So again, eyes wide open. Notice these things. Now, I would encourage you guys, though, the kind of conversation you want to have is, hey, in light of the realities of our circumstance, the fact that we have opposite schedules, how do we keep building in to our relationship? And, you know, one of the things that my wife and I have started doing, it's something that we call maximizing everyday moments. And honestly, instead of trying to figure out these major ways to spend time together, we're looking for what already goes on within our relationship that we can take advantage of to strengthen our relationship. For example, just the way that we say goodbye to each other before we leave the house can strengthen our marriage. That's an opportunity. The way that we greet each other when we come home, you know, during the day, just a quick little text message. Of course, I tried to do this, Susie, the other day. And I started typing out a little text to my wife, being all cute, and I really got into it. I'm like, you were really hot this morning, and I can't wait till I come home later on, you know. And I sent it to my boss.
Shocker. I didn't see that
Whoops,
one coming.
So, Carrie, as you're sending texts to each other, just yes. make sure that it's to him and not someone else. But that can be a way, though, just to notice what are some other things that will happen. Even if it's, you know, I know people who are on opposite schedules who, you know, text each other little notes before they leave. I mean, there's ways to really nurture each other. Look for those.
You know, and I've heard from women, Greg, who have said, you know, I'm married now. He doesn't make being together a priority, but I should have looked at it because he didn't make it a priority when we were dating yeah. either. And so I like that you're saying, you know, pay attention, because this is, again, a great opportunity to cultivate a deeper relationship or to see if the recipe's not there, the motivation is not there. And I love that she's even asking the question, because she's saying, exactly. What do I do about this? And how do yeah. I adjust? And should I? How much should I adjust? And
yeah.
so
don't
advice.
Give up on him. I would use this as a way to really sit down. How do we spend time together in light of our schedules? And so I just think that a lot of times that, you know, that especially for a guy, the moment we sense a hint that our, you know, significant other is disappointed,
yeah.
and it just shuts us down, or maybe mm-hmm. we can be just oblivious. And so, again, I don't just notice these things, but really actively look to figure out some unique ways that they can spend time together.
Excellent. Let's try to squeeze in one email here before the end of before our next break. This email just came in. Says, our son is a friend he truly loves and enjoys hanging out with. However, he's told us some of the things his friend's been is exposed to, porn, being sexually active, and is repeatedly asking our son is to go over there for the weekend. What should I say to him? My hubby doesn't want the two hanging out, but I do, yet I want to honor my husband. What do you say, Greg?
Well, always in the situation, first and foremost, you have to strive for unity between the couple.
Yeah.
That you know, they need to put, what are we going to do with our son, on the shelf, on hold for a moment. You guys figure out, you take the time, what's really the win for your husband, what's the win for you, and work that through. You know, because, you know, there's great, as a parent, there's a fine line between, I want my kids to be around others to learn and to be exposed to things so that I can use this as teachable moments before my kids leave the home. I don't want to shield them, protect them from every little thing, but there's a line. And so as a mom with that intuition, this could be the line of saying, pornography and some of these other things that our child's been exposed to, that's too far, and we need to step in and protect. I think if they really sit down and as a husband and wife and say, you know, what are you concerned about? What is the real win for you? I think they can figure this out. As soon as they get unified, then together they can go to their son and set whatever boundaries or whatever they need to do with him, they can figure that out.
And as a mom who's raised three sons, I just have to say, I would, in this situation, I love what you're saying, work on the unity in the couple. But then in this case, I would just encourage you to defer to the hubby on this one, just because it's so important. If he's opening the door to these things in his life, have him over, but have him over on your terms rather than sending your son for a weekend. I don't know. That seems unsettling to me. Well, we're so glad you tuned in. When we come back for the wrap, we'll have time to answer one last question. So glad you tuned in. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships, and we will be right back.
From Game Show Network, the
This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for tuning in today. We've had a great conversation. Thanks so much for calling and emailing in. We've got time, Greg, for one last email. And this one came in during the show.
Bring it on.
Here it is. And this husband says, I've been told that I'm being, quote, unquote, too nice when it comes to decision making. I want to show my wife that I'm being deferential and I'm seeking to please her. But when she says, make a decision, I freeze. So she must be feeling a little impatient enough to go, choose already, and then he gets, kind of polarized.
Yeah. Well, and then you add in the fact that we usually marry someone very different than we are, and so probably for her, what really stood out about him is just...
He was easygoing.
Hey, whatever, that's a great thing. And for him, probably the way that she's independent and strong and she's decisive, and, all those things are good. You really want to protect that. Differences are never the problem. It's how we manage differences that can be the problem. So how they're choosing to manage this part, because it sounds like when she's frustrated with him that she's saying it in such a way that it's almost, it's creating him to be a little defensive. A couple things come to mind. One, remember, 70% of all communication is miscommunication. That even when our spouse makes these statements or you're interpreting something your spouse is doing, just assume that you're probably misreading it, misunderstanding it. And that's when you start with that, hey, help me understand. When I ask you to do something, it seems like you really struggle making that decision. It's just frustrating to me. Help me to better understand what's going on, because then he's able to say, I'm loving you like Christ loved the church. I want to serve you, outserve you, and I want, for you to be happy and whatever. And so I'm wanting you to get your way. But she's then able to really say, if I understand your heart is to serve me, here's a way then you could best serve me in those moments. Mm. Then she can kind of give him a little bit more direction in those moments. What would she like for him to do? Because you don't want him to stop serving her and being that gracious person of who he really is. So I think it's a part of them just really talking this through.
And, you said even, because you're a, easygoing guy, there are some things you really don't care about. It's like if we go to this movie or that movie, so that needs to be okay too, right? I know she might want him to get to the point and pull the trigger where it really counts, but maybe they can find a middle ground there.
Yeah. This is a couple that'd be great to jump on Focus. You can focusonthefamily.com. We've got some great personality assessments that you can take. Dr. John Trent, we've worked a lot with. Just the more that we can understand who our spouse is, the way they operate, sometimes that could even help us to not to lead to negative beliefs about who they are. But again, I think talk this thing through. His heart is to serve her, so figure out how in those moments does she best want to be served, and then do that. And if it's to make the decision, great, because ultimately then he's serving her, and that's what he wants and she wants.
Wow, great advice. And thank you so much to all of you who tuned in today, but especially those who called and emailed. Again, we really appreciate doing this journey with you. So you can call anytime during non-broadcast hours. Leave us your question. We'll address it on a future show, 855-273-5283, or you can email everydayrelationships@focusonthefamily.com. And be sure to tune in next time when we address the most important relationships in your life. Beat you back here next time. I'm blowing this, but we'll be back here again next time.